الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا صفر ولا طير ولا هام، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. First, with regard to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, always make muzakara of a sunnah, discuss one sunnah. Before that, let us understand what is the sunnah in our time. In our time, the sunnah we should follow, not like looking in the kitabs, but look at the Ahlullah, the men of Allah Ta'ala who are the experts of this field. What their lives are, what they say is sunnah, that we should follow. And there is an explanation to that, that Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif says, right in Surah Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran Sharif, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. This is the theory of the straight path. And that is immediately in Surah Baqarah, Allah starts, you ask for the straight path, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is that straight path, the whole Quran Sharif. That is the theory. But any student of deen will know Arabic grammar, and they will know that the very next ayat, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, this is called بَدَلِ كُلْ. It is a complete replacement in meaning of the previous ayat. In other words, the previous ayat's meaning is explained in this ayat. How must you follow that straight path? Follow the path of those people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed. And then who are the people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed? Allah defined them also in the Quran Sharif. الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So you must follow those people. So the Nabiyeen, we don't see them now. The teachings are recorded, but we don't see them. Then Siddiqeen are always very few and very difficult to recognize. Their lives are such so simple, you won't realize that these are the Siddiqeen. It's very, very hard to recognize a Siddiq. And there are very few also. Shuhada have passed away, like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they have gone. So who are the people to be followed? Salihin. Who in your heart it comes, this is a salih, a righteous person, a person who will lead me to Allah Ta'ala, that is the person we should follow. In this, where we do make a mistake, that we see any alim, any sheikh, any pious person, and what we like, we see that he permits those things. He's not so strict on parda, for example, and we like that, so we say we'll follow him. No, that is not to choose. That he permits you to drink coke, so, and I like to drink coke, so I will follow this alim. Not our whims, our desires. But sincerely we should think that who is it that will lead me to Allah? That person, look for that alim, look for that sheikh, who our heart tells us that this person will really, not because he permits me Islamic banking, so now, and I need it, or I like Islamic banking, I like to take loans, and he says it's all right, it's jais. No, don't look at those things. What I like and what I'm getting. No, what will take me to Allah Ta'ala? That is, so look for such a person. Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. Those people. And they are always, Allah will keep those people alive. Where Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullah, have taqwa. And how to acquire taqwa? Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Always in such places, the next ayat is the means of acquiring the previous. Allah Ta'ala says, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً وَفَثْبُتُوا. When you meet the enemy on the battlefield, remain firm. You are small in numbers, they are big. To remain firm is not easy. How are you going to remain firm? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. That is going to give you the power and the strength that you remain firm. So the next ayat is the means, is the prescription for the previous command. So that we have to become, we have to have taqwa. How to acquire it? Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the sadiqeen. And now the sadiqeen, when Allah has commanded us to be with them, many times it comes on our tongues also that there are no pious people today. There are no, and we think of the great buzurgs, the great ulama of the past. Today there is nobody like that. Of course, the time is a time of decline. We're not going to get to people like the people of the past. That is true. We're not going to get another Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We're not going to get another Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You'll wait and wait and you won't get. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says that if you had the very top doctor, Hakim, Hakim Jalinos, Hakim Ajmal Khan, all these great, great Hakims, and now you say there's nobody like them, and you don't take treatment from the present Hakim, so you must dig your grave first. And you can go and sit at their graves. They're not going to come out and give you injection. They're going to give you a tablet. No, they are gone. So the present who are here, see in them. A person who where shaitan wants to mislead a person, he tells him, now there are no more buzurgs. So now you don't take any treatment. You just stay on your own. So you get destroyed. But if a person is sincere, then the present doctors which are present, the present lawyers which are present, whoever, you take the best that you can get there. So now also in the field of deen, that presently of all the ulama, mashayikh that are present, see not the one that gives me masalas according to my taste. Mizaj is different. That must be the same. You must correspond in mizaj, but not your masalas. That what you want and who gives you your masala, you say, I'll follow him. Then you are following your desires. And also in this, where people in masalas make a mistake, they when they want to ask any, and even many of us, mashura also, who we know that in this mashura, in this matter, he inclines to what I want. We make mashura with that person. In another matter, that we know this alim won't give me that mashura. Then we go to the other alim, who is lenient, and he will give me a mashura according to me. When we want to be hard on the wife and we want something to prove our point, then we don't go to that lenient maulana. Then we go to the maulana who is strict, because he'll give me that masala so I can tell my wife, maulana told like this, that this is the masala. So that is following our whims and desires. That is not following to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we should choose an alim, a shaykh, who our heart tells us that this person will lead me to Allah ta'ala. Then definitely you will be led. And Allah Ta'ala is so kind in this field that when you, and the whole matter is not with the Shaykh for guidance. The matter is with the Murid himself. When he is sincere, Allah will guide him. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, used to narrate this incident. Hazrat should talk very little. And in Ramzan, even less. But few incidents he should mention. One was, there was a very great shaykh, and he passed away. His son was very much out of line, but the son took over the shaykh's position. He started running the khanqah, and he was ignorant also, and he was out of line also. What khanqah is he going to run? Somebody from a far distant place had heard of the shaykh, very great shaykh. So he came all the way to become bay'at. Two people, they came all the way to become bay'at. They became bay'at. Now he has to show wazifas. He doesn't even know what wazifa to show. He's totally ignorant, a total jahil. So he told them, your wazifa is that I've got a piece of land somewhere out of town, you must go and dig it up for me. So they went, the sheikh, this is our sheikh, he gave us this wazifa. And they started digging, so they kept on digging, and in that Allah raised their position. And they got a very high position, very high. So they say, Allahu Akbar, what a great sheikh our sheikh is. Just see, he gave us this wazifa and where we reached. And then they say, we must now try and see where our sheikh's position is. And like we say, you looked up till you fell down at the back, but they couldn't see the sheikh anywhere. They came to him, Hazrat, your position is so high, we fell on our back, but we can't see where you are. Then he realized, he made tawbah then. By the barakat of his murids, he made tawbah. And then Allah Ta'ala gave him also hidayat. But what it is, the murid, when he's sincere. Our Shaykh, the Ahmad Barakatum, says, for example, you want to know something, anything, you want to make mashura with your Shaykh. So your duty, you must do. Like in the days of the past, it was letter writing. You write your letter, you put it in the letter box, stamped it, addressed it correctly, put it in, finish, your work is done. Now, not your Shaykh, Allah will take over. Now your matter will be sorted out by Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat says, like from Pakistan, whenever the relationship of the two countries are strained, then post also doesn't go directly to India. It has to go via UK. So in those days, Hazrat said, whenever I had a matter and I had to write to my Shaykh, Mana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, then I should write, put it in the letter box, and I know my work is done. Whether the Shaykh receives the letter or not, whether he reads it or not, whether he replies it or not, but you did your share, Allah will open the doors for you. What you wanted now, your guidance, du'as, and mashura, and hidayat, Allah will take care. Because murabbi haqiqi is Allah Ta'ala, not the Shaykh. Shaykh is a means. The real controller is Allah Ta'ala. And you did your share. Even in a bayan also is not what the speaker knows or how he presents it, but it is on the listeners. And according to that, and many people say, today's bayan was exactly for me. Because that person was sincere, he wanted hidayat, and Allah gave those words, and he understands it was for me. So it is on the listener. And also, when now Allah Ta'ala sends, like the rain comes, the rain, best of rains can come. Nice, good rain, soft rains, the whole night it rained. But that piece of ground that is hard and rocky, stony, doesn't benefit anything from that rain. Some other land will be such that it did not benefit, but it dammed the water up. Animals came and drink, birds came and drink. Others, they did not benefit, others. And some land is such that it took full benefit. And it started making things grow there also. And that land which was now like a felt, looks like a beautiful garden suddenly. And what wonderful fruit is growing there. What wonderful flowers are growing there. So like that, the rain comes from Allah Ta'ala. And then every individual, according to his capacity, that person takes. So it is on the individual. How much we have got that talab. This is the most important, to have that talab, that desire. And with ikhlas, with sincerity, there is absolutely no doubt and no way that Allah won't open the way for that person. If a person in his heart hasn't got hidden agendas just to make the wife happy, is coming to majlis, or the wife is coming just to make the husband happy, or just because of friends, or for any other reason, sincerely a person wants to reach Allah Ta'ala, and that we have to first make our object. Not only our Islam, more greater than our Islam, is to reach Allah Ta'ala, to find Allah Ta'ala. When a person sincerely makes that his intention, and he works towards that practically now, whatever he is told, etc., there is no way that Allah will block his way. Allah is not like that. Never ever. Allah has revealed the whole Quran Sharif. Allah has sent 124,000 Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. Allah has kept many ulama alive so that people can reach Allah Ta'ala. Allah has given his clear signs in the heavens and the earth, all so that we must reach Allah Ta'ala. Now if a person is sincere and wants to, and Allah blocks him, it's impossible. Yes, Allah will test you. A few tests will come in your way, that are you sincere or not. Don't get cut off at those tests. You are driving on a road, beautiful road. The road is also very good. There are lights also, there are flowers on this side also, there are water flowing on this side. Pleasure to travel on that road. You come to a point where there is a detour. Now you have to go off the main road. And there that road is quite bad. You have to drive very slow. But now, if your niyat was not driving, your niyat was to reach your destination, you'll carry on in your detour. And if you just wanted to enjoy the drive and the ride, you'll say, I take a U-turn, I'll go back on this road again. But if you are sincere, you wanted to reach your destination, on that detour also, you'll go carefully, slowly, but again back you'll come onto the highway again, onto the good road. So Allah will put those tests. And one of the common tests is when a person usually becomes a murid and he's shown zikr, he does it for a few days, he's enjoying it. And there's also a test whether you are doing it for your enjoyment or for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. When you are doing it for your enjoyment, after a reasonable time, Allah takes that enjoyment away. Now you're no more enjoying your zikr. But if you wanted to reach your destination, you'll carry on whether you're enjoying your zikr or not. But if you're not, then you give up your zikr, no more enjoyment. And then excuses you start making, I haven't got time, I'm too busy, other things are coming up. There will be enough excuses which your nafs will make for you. The minute you give up your zikr, you stopped, you didn't move on. So how can you reach your destination? So these are those tests which Allah will put. So anyway, what we were speaking about is that the sunnah which we have to follow is, Allah Ta'ala told, the path of those people who are the salihin. So sincerely look for those people who our heart tells us that this person will let me reach Allah Ta'ala. And once you have convinced yourself in your heart, he's not going to be a farishta, that is for sure. He's not going to be a nabi, forget that, there is no nabi. And in today's time, he is going to be a human like us. He will also have weaknesses. But there are first certain checks which the ulama have written to see who we make a sheikh. Basic checks. Check that, and then don't expect him to be a farishta. Don't expect him to be a nabi. He's a human like us. He also can make mistakes. He also can have weaknesses. But our heart tells us he is the one that will take me to Allah Ta'ala. Then you can close your eyes and give your hands in his hands. And then follow him. And inshallah, on your sincerity, Allah will definitely let you reach your destination. You will find Allah. And once you have found Allah, there is no greater joy than that. So the basic thing, what shaitan commonly does, that look at kitabs. The kitabs are enough. And in fact, in this ayat of the Quran, Sharif, Allah says, Kalla, innal insana layadgha, arraahu staghna, inna ila rabbika ruj'a. In this ayat was revealed for Abu Jahl that he was such that he became disobedient, disobeyed the commands of Allah. Pride overtook him. So but Maulana Gilani rahmatullah alayhi, a very very great alim, was very good at taking out points from ayats and hadith, etc. He took out one point from this ayat, that this becomes the condition of generally an alim also. That when he gets knowledge, then he becomes, he feels, I know too much. Then I don't need any other person. I got Bukhari in front of me, I've studied. I've got Sahih Sitta, I've got Tafsir in front of me. I've become a mufti now. I've got everything. I don't have to refer to any person. Whereas he says that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, he was a mountain of knowledge. He was what a great alim. But as long as Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi was living, he didn't give any fatwa from his own. He wrote it, send it to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. He passed it, he signed it, Al-Jawabu Sahih, and then he would give the fatwa. Such a great alim. And great, great ulama till today. A real alim is who humbles himself. But normally, we just know a little bit, and we want to fight with other ulama. And we want to argue with other ulama. And a person who acquires knowledge for that, there is great warning for such a person in the hadith that you gain knowledge and you go and argue and you fight with other ulama. That should not be the case. So this ayat, in kalla innal insana layadgha. Man, by nature, he becomes rebellious. And arraahu staghna. And you see him that he becomes mustaghni. He doesn't want to make mashura with anyone. Some say clearly, I don't listen to anyone's mashura. If I do listen, I'll listen little bit to my sheikh. But I don't like that in the whole world. I don't listen to anyone. If I listen, I listen little bit to my sheikh. So such a person, and the solution the Quran Sharif has given, inna ila rabbika ruj'a, turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Fafirru ila Allah. And to turn to Allah Ta'ala, on your own you wouldn't be. You need unse milne ki yahi ek raah hai, unke milne walon se raah paida karo. If you want to, Allah made it such, Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. You want to know who is Rahman, you want to have connection with Rahman, you want to know him, you want to have connection with him, Allah says, then go to the people who know him, who are ba khabar, who are informed about Allah Ta'ala. That is how you will find Rahman. That is where you will get to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So to follow the sunnah in the correct sense is to follow those people who are on that path, who your heart tells this is a lover of Allah. So he can never be a lover of Allah without being the lover of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. La ilaha illallah, that is the most important. That is the very rock bottom, there is no doubt. Tawheed, oneness of Allah Ta'ala. But nobody can reach Tawheed without Muhammadur Rasulullah. On a person's own, he'll make his own Tawheed. He wouldn't know what is Tawheed. Who is Allah? What are the sifat of Allah Ta'ala? A person can never know by his brains, by his own understanding. He needs somebody. And today we can never reach Muhammadur Rasulullah without right at the beginning that person who taught us Takhti, who taught us this one standing up is Alif. Without that, we take it for granted and we have buried it and forgotten it. But whether my mother taught me, my sisters taught me, whoever taught me my Takhti, from there we need them to reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise we would never reach. My ustad who taught me Nazara, my ustad who taught me Hifz, without them we would have never reached anywhere. Where would we have come into Bukhari? Where would we have become a mufti without those beginnings? So we need all of those right from the beginning, the whole chain. And this whole chain, anywhere you cut it off, you broke your whole chain. Many people, shaitan deceives us that we must follow the Sahaba. And they highlight that, which is correct. But with your chain broken, how are you going to reach the Sahaba? You want to climb the top of the building, but your ladder is broken in the middle. And you hardly started the first step. You don't acknowledge your person who taught you your Alif Ba'ta'atha. You don't acknowledge the person who taught you your Quran Sharif Nazara. So how are you going to even start with the ladder? Where are you going to go up? So you need that hole, every step on that ladder, every link on the chain, and any one place you break it, whether you break it at the bottom, whether you break it on the top, wherever you break it, you won't be able to reach Muhammadur Rasulullah, and in turn you won't be able to reach Allah Jalla Jalalu. We need this whole chain. So, and for us, where will we see? Anyone ask you, whose son are you? Nobody says, I'm Adam alayhi salam's son. You are the son of Adam. All of us are Ibn Adam, Aulad Adam. But you give your immediate father's name. You are his son. So who are you? Your immediate ustad. And your parents, your sheikh, whoever. From here, and these are who you will see, and you will follow them. And then we go up in this whole chain. But you have to follow immediately. So Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, we have to follow the path of those people whom Allah has made in'am upon. Some people are also of the opinion that, for example, we must follow sunnats, and nobody denies that, but we must look at the kitab, what is in the kitab, what is sunnat. So that's very good, mashallah. You look at dressing, what is sunnat in the kitab, and you don't see the people, what the righteous and the pious people, you follow the kitab. Then you don't only follow in the dressing, follow that in the sunnat, in the living condition also, the houses also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's room was such that if you slept one side, your head touched this wall, your feet touched the other wall. That was the size of the room. If you stood up and you lifted your hand, it reached the roof of the... So stay in those houses, that is the sunnat. So yeah, then we follow the buzurgs, how they are living. So that is what we have to follow. Otherwise, we follow the kitabs. The kitab tells us the sunnah is to go to toilet in a felt. No, forget toilet in the yard and no toilet in the passage and forget that ends with toilet. You must go out in the felt. Who's going to go in the felt today? So if you want to follow the sunnah in the kitab, then follow that sunnah. Who will manage? Follow the sunnah in the kitab of the food of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who will manage? Today, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Allah reward him very greatly, he said it's sunnah to follow simplicity. We must have simplicity in our lives. إِنَّ الْبَزَازَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. But what is simplicity in our time? He says, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, that if a person wants to follow the sunnah of simplicity of the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he won't be able to take one step in his life. His clothing, his food, his living condition, the roads which were in that time, the houses that were in that time, who will be able to follow that? Many people find fault that they've modernized Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. If they had those old houses, once we went on Hajj with quite a few friends, and it was a reasonable place of residence for us, but 90% of the friends were totally upset and they went and made their own accommodation. They couldn't stay in that place. So we're going to stay in those. Today, if it was still in those conditions, those very narrow gullies, Allahu Akbar, if I have to explain to you the condition of the toilets in those days in the places, nobody will go to toilet also. So without this, who will be able? So Allah knows His system. According to our level, He made things according to our condition today. Otherwise, we all like to become very pious, that we like the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If Medina was still like that of the time, nobody should have gone to Medina. And how many jamaats of our country, Madagascar, other countries, they went for 40 days, in 3 days they came back. They couldn't take it. The conditions are such. Where can we? So what is the sunnah of simplicity? Two things, according to the time we are living in and according to the place we are living in. In that time, if we want to follow the simplicity of 100 years ago, yeah, in South Africa, in the cities, today we'll never manage how it was 100 years ago. Forget 1400 years ago. And we want to follow the simplicity today, the people who are living in the villages, who are living in their mud houses, etc. We try, forget the mud houses here in Kakhisa, in the locations. We try and live like that, we'll never be able to manage that. So the place you are living in, the time you are living in, what is generally accepted as simplicity, that is the exact sawab you'll get for following the sunnah in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should see these things. And in these days, how the pious and the righteous are living, according to that we should live. That we will get that same reward. Also, another very important thing is, today many of us have got this illness and bimari also, that we want to deduce things from the hadith. That is the work of a mujtahid, who takes out masalas from Quran and masalas from hadith. The doors of ijtihad are closed now. Today our duty is to follow the imma mujtahideen. We follow the great imams of fiqh. Those are the people we have to follow. We won't be able to, that is concentrate. If you want to drink anything, a medicine, a juice, the concentrate of it, you'll kill yourself. What has been now diluted and presented to you, ready for drinking, ready for use now. That is what we must have. You take that heavy, we haven't got that capacity to absorb that. That was the work of the mujtahideen. Today our work is 100% to follow the mujtahideen like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, all the great imma. We have to follow them. And we have to follow the great ulama of fiqh. Not that we can take out masalas from, for example, this we can understand, if there is a court case running, say for about 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 3 years, a court case is running. We went and sat and listened to the proceedings of 1 hour. And after what we heard, what evidence was given, etc., we make our decision. And then we say that the person is guilty or not guilty. The judge who's sitting on that case for 6 months, for 3 years, 5 years he's sitting. And he's got all the knowledge of the laws of the country. He heard the evidence of both sides. He heard when they were cross-examined also. Everything And then he takes time to make his decision, to study the whole case. And he makes a decision, whose decision will be that has got any water. What has we heard 1 hour? What our decision is a totally, it's a greater stupidity that you try even to think and you make a decision. So the fuqaha had everything in front of them. Usul of fiqh, usul of hadith, shani, nuzul of ayat, everything. And they were those people with that capacity. And we look at one hadith, we look at 3-4 hadith, and so we want to make a decision. It's a shame on a person that he tries even to think of making his decision. We should look at what the fuqaha have said. Our first source of reference must not be the hadith, but what the fuqaha have said. That is what we have to see, and that is what is binding upon us, that these people who were imbued by Allah Ta'ala with this great knowledge and with that understanding, and what taqwa they have got, what Imam Shafi's taqwa, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's taqwa, what position. So what they say, that is what really is what, so that is what is the sunnah. If we can understand that, a lot of our matters will become easy, that the righteous and the pious in our time, and who our heart inclines to, and genuinely our heart says, this is the righteous man, they follow in that way. And we won't be questioned in any way. Then we have trusted in him, then his matter is with Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala give us that understanding, inshallah. With regard, we are in the month of Safar now. Today is the 4th of Safar. And this month, the second month of the Islamic year, and from the days before Islam, this month used to be regarded as an unlucky month. That it is a month, and unfortunately, 1400 years of Islam has passed on us. And many of us who are even alims, who are Sufis and who are tablighis, but still, those things which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there should be no superstition in Islam. But still there is superstition in us. And in fact, before we come to superstition, the main teaching of Islam, which we all know, is the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, Tawheed. But let us check our Tawheed. And here also, very, very important, that Islam of environment, bi'ah, culture, that is not sufficient. It's a good impetus. It encourages a person, very good, but don't depend on that Islam. Like, for example, the Muslims of Lebanon, Palestine, Muslims in Brazil, South America, they told us our biggest problem was that we were brought from there, the enemy made South America the dumping ground in order to flush out Muslims from Palestine, from Lebanon, from Spain. They took them away from there. So there they say we were Muslims of environment. We came here, there was no Islamic environment. Now there was an environment of dunya, environment of sin. So if a person is a slave of environment, whatever environment he comes in, he'll become like that. Like a chameleon, whichever color there is, he takes on that color. So we will be like that. So if we are Muslims of environment, then this will be our condition. Whichever environment, like commonly also we find, a person is what you call it, namazi, everything, but he's going to travel abroad, for example. He comes to the airport, there he doesn't see one Muslim, mostly non-Muslims, nobody making namaz. Now if he's a Muslim of environment, no azan, nobody going to the masjid, there's no masjid, then he won't make namaz. He'll find it difficult, he'll be shy to make namaz also. He'll be lazy to look for a place also to make namaz. In the aeroplane, if the host and the hostesses, which in many cases, they try and discourage you from reading namaz. Sometimes they bluntly refuse you also. So if you are now environment, how many people, when going for hajj, nobody is getting up at namaz time to make namaz. You also just sit down, if you're a Muslim of environment. But if you are a Muslim of knowledge, education, you had Islamic education, you knew namaz is faraz. And I have to make my namaz. Nobody else is making Muslims. They also not making. Non-Muslims is out of the question. Nobody is making. But no, namaz, time is going. Asr namaz time is going. Maghrib namaz time is going. I have to make my namaz. Then that will be the case. If you have that. And more than education, yaqeen. Full yaqeen. That I have to make. It's a faraz of Allah Ta'ala. I have to make my namaz. But if we are Muslims of environment, the minute the environment is different, we'll also just fall into that system, and we'll follow that. So we have to be very careful. So our tawheed also, don't take it for granted. I'm born in a Muslim home. I'm born in a Muslim environment. I'm living in a Muslim environment. See our tawheed on education, on Islamic education, Islamic knowledge. Have I got tawheed or not? Or otherwise, at the time of maut, that will be the test. Allah gives us enough tests in our life also to check ourselves. There are enough tests that Allah checks us before the final test will come to check our tawheed. But unfortunately, all this test which comes in between, we just take it as hawadith zamana, things of time that happens like this. When a person does wrong, for example, Allah brings conditions on that person. Heart attack, motor car accident, cancer, fight between husband and wife, daughter has got a problem in her marriage, this problem in the community, a problem. All these are the punishments and the tests from Allah Ta'ala. But we take it, these things happen. That because I had too much butter, I got cholesterol. So it's a butter problem. It's not my guna problem. It's not my lifestyle problem. The fight, between husband and wife fight. These things happen. Every home, there are ups and downs. But Allah meant for us to have a smooth life. When we have got problems, my car is breaking down, then jadu. The people are making jadu. We don't think, so we brush it off with other things. And the real cause, shaitan keeps us away from the real cause. So therefore, it is very necessary that we, whenever conditions come, take it upon ourselves. I have done something wrong. That's why this problem I'm facing now. Whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a legal problem, anything. A dog also knows. If you throw a stone at a dog, it won't run after the stone. It knows the stone is not the problem, the person who threw the stone. So we also, if our neighbors are fighting with us, anyone else is any problem, then we take him to court. We want to sue him. We want to go and fight and argue with him. That has come from Allah Ta'ala, from the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't just send down any conditions on any person. What goes up, that's what comes down. Jaise karni, waise bharni. Na maane to karke de. That what, as you do, as you sow, so will you reap. Whatever we have planted, that is what is going to grow. My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, if you plant weeds and you expect roses to grow, how can that happen? Today with our children, we are planting weeds. How we are bringing them, how we dress them up. Small children, they don't know anything. We dress them like that. What they talk, we don't correct them, we don't guide them. And then we expect them to be great muftis and great maulanas. What we're planting, that is what is going to grow. So we have to see that our tawheed, whether it is just on environment, that we are all Muslims, we all believe in the oneness of Allah, we never tested our iman. And we hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Check yourself before you're going to be checked. So check our iman. And the tawheed of ours is la ilaha illallah. Not only that, that's not complete. Wahdahu la sharik. That is complete tawheed. So la ilaha illallah, that we don't believe in any god besides Allah Ta'ala, the being of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody, even many non-Muslims, they don't believe the shop is their god. They don't believe their job is their god. They believe God, Allah is Allah. Even many non-Muslims. And it is famous that the three monastic religions, Islam, Christianity and Judaism, that they all believe in monotheism, oneness of Allah Ta'ala. But we know it's not a fact. Christians, they believe Isa ibn Allah, Isa is the son of Allah, huwa thalithu thalath, he is one of the three in Trinity. The Jews, they also believe in oneness of Allah. But Uzair ibn Allah, Uzair is the son of Allah, etc. Hindus, if you ask them, they also believe in one Bhagwan. But then they got all their idols also. The local black people, many of them who become Muslims also, they believe in oneness of Allah. But their ancestors, what they believe in, that is so strong in them, that they still, their ancestors control our life. We mustn't displease the ancestors. If I will do this, the ancestors will become displeased. That is also shirk. So they all believe in oneness. So that first part is not sufficient. That's a starting point. then wahdahu also we have to believe. Wahdahu, the ulama, shura of hadith have explained that Allah in the execution of all his work, he is one alone, he does it. Allah doesn't need any farishta, angel, the angel of rain, the angel of death, anyone, Allah doesn't need them. Allah has made a system. And the system, the asbab which Allah has made, they are means and they are imtihan to test us. And Allah is not in need of these means also. Like a person who is the state president of the country, how many departments he has got. But of course, as far as dunya is concerned, his powers are limited, curtailed. He can't just do as he please. But in many cases, the boss in the company, though he's got other people, but he says, I'm the boss. That, for example, the security is not allowing somebody. The boss comes and stands there, allow him to come in. That security, nothing, what can he do? The boss is over him. Allah is over everyone. Allah has made all the asbab, everything. But Allah is not in need of any wali, any nabi, any farishta or anyone. Allah's qudrat, if we know who Allah is, that Allah's qudrat is above. So that yaqeen must be in us also. That Allah is not in need of anyone. And then in the execution of that also, Allah is not in need of your shop to give you rosy, not in need of medicine to give you shifa, so that yaqeen. So, and to use the asbab is sunnah. That you will get the sawab of, it's not for us to use asbab. If you are ill and you don't take medicine, it's not a guna, but it's sunnah. You'll get the sawab, but your yaqeen must not be in the medicine. Your yaqeen must be in Allah Ta'ala. You are hungry, you eat food, that is sunnah, it's a sabab. But your yaqeen mustn't be the food as full. Though you feel, I ate food, I got full. And Allah shows us many times, we eat so much, but you don't get full. And sometimes you are so hungry, but something came in between, you couldn't eat. Suddenly your hunger is gone. So it is not the food on that, it is only on Allah Ta'ala. So asbab, so our tawheed is the most important that we have to check. Don't take it in environment, but on knowledge. That our iman, from iman e murithi, iman which we have inherited, iman e akli, iman which is in the brain, iman e istidlali, iman which we have made, taken dalil from, this is, now all that is like paperwork, all that, what we have inherited, what is in the brain, and what we have deduced, Allah is such, that must be changed to iman e from iman murithi, what we have inherited, to iman iman zaqi, that your nature, iman must be such that it runs in your body. You don't think of it. It runs in your body. It's a natural thing. Iman wijdani, you feel that iman. Like a person, if he's got fever, high fever, anything happens, he can't do anything. Crooks broke into the house, he's so weak in that fever, he can't even move, he can't even run, he can't save himself also. Forget him saving his family, he can't do. Iman must be like that. Control our whole system, iman must control us. We have to work towards developing such an iman. Iman e zaqi, iman e wijdani, iman e haqiqi, the real iman. It must be part of a person. Not what is done by deductions, not what is in the brain, not what we have inherited, but that iman must be our own iman. So that we have to make effort for. So this iman is the most important thing. And wherever we go, whichever environment, that iman must control us. Whether 100% everything against Muslims and against Islam, not a single Muslim in that place, forget a practicing Muslim. There isn't a masjid also, but that must control us and we must remain firm on that iman. And that will happen when we make this effort. And that is the effort of the khanqa, to bring that iman. One is that generally the Muslims are also greatly deprived of that. So alhamdulillah, Tabligh Jamaat makes effort and they come to realize, they speak on the first point on iman, etc. But there is a limit, and then you need with dhikrullah, you need the guidance of a sheikh to get that stronger iman, that reality of iman to bring that. And a person has to make this effort till maut. Then hopefully his maut will also come. Otherwise, at the time, like you have a parrot. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, used to give this example commonly. you teach the parrot lot of nice words to make salam, read kalima, lot of nice things, and it always is doing that. But the day that the cage got left open and the cat went and got the parrot, and now the cat parrot is in the claws of the cat, all that sabak of 10 years you taught it, it will forget it. Every day it was singing so beautifully, whistling, but now when it's in the claws of the cat, now its original, what is in its heart, will come out. Te, 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 all that salam and that whistling and that singing, nothing, it will forget, it will go completely blank. So we also, if iman was on the tongue, iman was on the brain, when malakul maut will come and we are in the jaws of death, at that time what will come out? Not what is on the tongue and what is in the brain, what is in the heart will come out. If iman, we had made effort to put iman in the heart, then that will come out. Today we see a person, for example, speaks so much on tawheed, gives a whole bayan. Many times we saw this. Persons speak, only Allah does. Allah is the only doer. Immediately after the bayan, he's got an appointment with an amil, that the jadu has done this. He spoke on only Allah does. Now his yaqeen is on jadu, that jadu did this to me, and jadu did that to me, and this one has done that. So where is our, before maut comes, this is our condition. Little bit dollar price goes up or down, petrol price goes up and down, immediately Jews are controlling the world. Now where is la ilaha illallah? We give a whole bayan that Allah is the only doer. Allah controls all conditions. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. But immediately after that, a little discussion that the Jews are controlling the world. They controlling they, which government they want to they bring. Then where is our la ilaha illallah God? And not only in our little discussions, today from the mimbar bayans are given, Jews control the world. Whatever they want they, happens in the world. They, the whole finances are in the hands of the Jews. They control everything. Then what is the meaning? What's the translation of la ilaha illallah? Allah is the only, so that yaqeen has to come. And before maut, it's absolutely necessary that yaqeen must be in the heart. Otherwise, at the time of maut, what is in the heart is going to come out. And if we did not make that effort, it was just on our tongue, it will be very dangerous then at the time of maut. So first of all, that yaqeen on that. Then as far as other beliefs are concerned, today also we have to be very concerned. Today the Shias are making full out effort. The Qadianis are making effort. And then the Salafis are making effort. As far as the Salafis are concerned, first it is just a matter of difference in masail. That is tolerable, no problem with that. But in the hearts lurk very terrible and dirty aqaid of kufr, or as far as aqidah is concerned. When with masail they have won you over, with their outward beautiful arguments, and now you follow them, then you see the evil aqidah of the dirty, filthy aqidahs which come out. They believe that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not alive in his qabr, that he has turned to dust. People are wasting their time to come and make salat or salam there, and they are wasting their money coming to Medina Sharif, etc. All this type of things, they are much more worse than that. So therefore, a person, today we have to be concerned. Today, our children in good Islamic schools, they are being taught Darwin's theory of evolution. That our forefathers were monkeys, and then they became human beings. So, and we're not concerned about this. These things will be coming into us eventually. All other wrong beliefs which are around us in every way, a person must be concerned. He must save himself from these wrong beliefs. So it is very important that we take these lessons from the month of Safar, all these lessons. Our tawheed must be 100% intact. Never allow any blemish, any smudge to come on tawheed. Tawheed in its theory and tawheed in its reality and the haqiqat. And a person has to be always concerned and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And what helps tremendously in this, two things. One is the regularity of zikrullah, of la ilaha illallah by the barakat. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum gives one very beautiful explanation, that it's a riwayat of Mishkat Sharif. La ilaha illallah laysa laha hijab dunallah. La ilaha illallah. A person who reads 100 times la ilaha illallah, his face will come on the day of Qiyamah like the 14th full moon. Hazrat explains this hadith and says that the moon, the first moon, the moon is full all the time. It doesn't disappear or go away anywhere. It is there all the time. But the bottom part, the one edge of the moon, the first moon, just that little crescent that we have to look for, and what a problem finding the moon, sighting the moon. But that is all. But as the nights pass, that light goes more and more, darkness becomes less and less. Until the 14th moon, the whole moon is full of light. And darkness is gone completely out. Exactly in the same way, a person who will keep on reading La ilaha illallah 100 times every day, then light will come. Amal will come in his life. Aqidah will be corrected. Amal will be corrected. Muamalat will be corrected by the barakat of La ilaha illallah. Until all darkness, anger will go out, looking at other women will go out, all other evils will go out, it will be complete light. And forget the day of Qiyamah, already in this world, Allah will make you a shining person. Not only will you have light in you, you will be a cause of light for other people also. So the barakat of light, zikrullah. And another thing with zikrullah, sohbat as-salihin, the real righteous people, their company, which is aksir, which is alchemy. In the world, there's something which they say, like scientists of the past, they could change a stone into a gold. Those are all stories, there is nothing. The real alchemy is these people, الَّذِينَ يَجْعَلُونَ كَافِرًا مُؤْمِنًا. What they want, nazar, they make a kafir, a mu'min. وَالْفَاسِقَ وَلِيًّا, and they make a fasiq, a wali. وَالْجَاهِلَ عَالِمًا, and a jahil turns it, and we see it with our eyes, it is happening. In the company of the righteous and pious, how people's lives change. Allahu Akbar. Enough instances there are. Little bit company, sohbat, and how a person who was a total worse than in the gutters, Allah raised him to be the crown of the awliya. A person right in the gutters, Allah made him the crown of the awliya. So these are the things. So by that, these things will be corrected. So our aqaid, and then our tawheed, as far as aqaid, muamalat, amal, those are very important, but that's most important is our aqaid. And in aqaid, tawheed. And then we have to be careful of all the other aqidas of the Shias. They also believe in tawheed. Qadianis also say they believe in tawheed, but the dirty, filthy aqidas they've got, other filthy aqidas, a person has to be so careful. Then another thing which we have to be so careful in our times also, which I mentioned at the beginning, 1400 years have passed, more than 1400 years. But there are still so many superstitions in our lives. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, La safara, all this bad luck of safar, etc. How many people still, they say, no, don't make nikah in safar, marriage, because it's bad luck that nikah won't last. Don't go on a journey in safar, etc. Nabi negated it totally. These things are not in the hands of all of the month. Time all belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala hasn't put evil in certain time. Time is all Allah Ta'ala. And then they had other certain superstitions, tiyara, that when they wanted to do anything important, they would make a bird fly. If it flies in the right hand side, then the bird is good luck. We will be successful. Left hand side, bad luck. Today, we still got, unfortunately, how many of us superstition that the cat runs across the road, accident going to happen in front. Where has the power of the cat running across, not even in the cat, just it's running across the road. Has that got power to cause us an accident? But this belief sign us, a cat is meowing at night. In the morning, definitely we're going to get news somebody has passed away. Hey, the poor cat is giving birth to kittens, going through childbirth. It's going through difficulty. It's screaming, crying. What has that got to do? But these things are still with us. And not long ago in my lifetime, when we were not very small also, young, grown up, one person was getting married, and they taught him that to take out the bad luck of your marriage, you have to get a black cock, a rooster. And then with your car, you must kill that rooster. So all your bad luck. Now that thing is fighting for its life. And these people were living in a farm area. The yard was reasonably big. Not very big, but reasonably. Now he's going with his car. The rooster is running and he's turning this way. And he had to kill the rooster before. And the wedding morning he had to do it. Now, not before that also. Now, that's why he has to go for the nikah. He has to kill the rooster. But this thing, and he had to do it like a faraz. His yaqeen was on that. Bapu showed it. So what Bapu said will happen. So I have to kill that. So these superstitions, unfortunately, to a great extent. And then what many of us are still plagued, very good people, whether we are Maulvis, whether we are Sufis or Tablighis, jadu. Anything jadu. There is jadu, but it's overplayed to such. We don't pay attention to our shop. We're not working properly. Shop not functioning. Somebody made jadu. We're doing wrong in our marriage, having affairs with other women. We're not fulfilling the rights of the wife. Now arguments every day in the house, jadu. Anything, jadu is the best scapegoat. You just negligent in any of your things, and then the easiest thing, just put the blame on jadu. Our Sheikh Damat Barakatum is so particular about this, that take responsibility. For many times when we're sitting on eating on the dastarkhan, a glass falls. Hazrat asks, kya hua? What happened? We say the glass fell. Hazrat say the glass fell on its own. Why don't you say, I dropped the glass? The thief dropped the cup of tea. Why don't you say, we don't want to take that responsibility. Anything goes right, even if we didn't do, then we want a stake in the pie. That I told him to do this. I told you from before, always do it like this. But when things go wrong, blame somebody else. And you can't blame anyone else, because your wife will come down on you if you're going to tell her, blame it on jadu. Jadu can't confess its case. God judge is not going to take you to court. One person, many years ago, a doctor, came here. It was a Sunday morning. I was sitting in the office. He told me one Amil has told that his mother made jadu on somebody. So he loved his mother, and he knew his mother. And many cases, righteous woman, some sister, some mother-in-law, they are blamed of jadu. Families are broken up in these things. So he told me, I told him a simple solution. Tell that Amil, you're going to lay a charge of defamation of character. He went and tell him, the next the Amil was by me. And he told me, you know, that all this we do, but we cannot 100%, and we can't say for a fact or so. There you break a whole family. You cause so much, how many harams now, bad gumani, evil thoughts, and false accusation, buhtan, and ghibat, and hasad, and dushmani, which are all big, big, major gunas. Like guna of leaving namaz, these are gunas like that, major gunas. All that you have these people involve the people in. And many places exploit them with their money, exploit them with their woman. You trust them so much, you leave your daughter, you leave your mother alone with them. And a man is a man. He can be whichever, Amil or whatever. And all these evils, there's no place for that. But 1400 years have passed. We have become Maulvis, and we have become Sufis, and we have become Tablighis. But unfortunately, these diseases are still lying in us. The other thing is jadu and jinn. Other thing, jinn. And any person, there are few people who can imitate with their voices. They know how to make their voice like any person, a politician, a qari, or anyone else. That person has got easy income. Either he becomes a comedian and entertains the people. Or either he becomes an amil and he tells people you got jinn, and he makes a sound, a heavy sound like a jinn talking, and all that. All these things, yeah. But dunya mein teri akal kya kar gayi? In dunya your brains work so, deen mein kahan mar gayi? But when it comes to deen, then why does it? Good, wealthy people in business, they're so alert, you can't do them down with a cent. They are too shrewd in their business. But when it comes to this matters, they just fall flat. And there they are now, the amils, and their wives they are taking, their daughters they taking to the amil. Like that, they got parda in the house, but in front of the amil, no parda also. That also is all maaf now. So these things, there are no place for that. To understand this, very briefly I'll try and explain that how great, and we forget our trust on Allah. A person who gets little doubt in his deen, any waswasa, evil thoughts, one solution we are taught in the Quran, Aamantu billahi wa rusulihi. I brought iman on Allah and on his rus. A person who brought iman on Allah, now my iman is gone in a cat, the cat running across the road on that year, that somebody gave me a set of knives for qurbani to help me to slaughter. Now what he wants to, that me and my four children to break our nikah.
Now that knife's got the power to break us, to break our muhabbat, to cut our muhabbat. The poor person in sincerity gave us a present, nice present, qurbani time. Now we're saying that he wants to cut the muhabbat. The knife got the power to do that. So understand who is Allah Ta'ala. Our iman is on Allah. It comes in a hadith sharif. For example, man is small, but when we look at ants, then I'm very big compared to an ant. Look at small little things, little mosquitoes, ants, a fly, but a fly, which is not harmful also, but a fly will make you totally lose all your peace of mind. And when that fly really persists and comes in your nose all the time, no matter how much you this way, that way, it comes back again, in your nose again, in your ear again. And all the time, the one little fly, you regard yourself as a big man. One mosquito, your whole night, it doesn't let you sleep. Eh? Just one little, and how weak is not that mosquito? But it doesn't let you sleep the whole night. So you regard yourself anyway as big when you look at a fly, a mosquito, you look at ants. And when man has made big, big, tall, tall buildings, I'm so big, I've done this. What buildings, what in the world they are buildings? You look at the aeroplanes that we have made. You may look at the ships and the submarines. And what were things? I'm a big man. I've done this, I've done that. But if ever you get the opportunity and you are in mountains, forget the Mount Everest, forget Kilimanjaro, all these mountains, any other small range of mountains, you realize how you are dwarfed, how small you are compared to those mountains. And in certain mountains, which are very eerie, very frightening, that dead it is, dead, 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 and eerie and frightening. If you are there, you get frightened. If you go into a cave, a huge cave, you get frightened in there. Then you realize what you are. If you're sitting at the seashore safely, but you look at the huge, and how much of the sea can you see? If you are in the middle of the sea, and there on your little dinghy or your boat or even your big ship, and there's a storm in the water, and the big ship also, the Titanic, what a big ship, and what they call the unsinkable Titanic, which sunk in its first maiden voyage. Hey, what a big thing. But when the storms come, you realize how insignificant you are. And if you compare yourself to one ocean, forget the seven oceans, what is insan? Insan is nothing whatsoever. So like that, if we see in the hadith, it comes that this whole world hasn't got the value of the wing of a mosquito by Allah Ta'ala. Forget the mosquito, forget the two wings, one wing. This whole world hasn't got the value of one wing of a mosquito. We ever thought of a mosquito wing, how small, how insignificant, what is in it? And this is the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which are 100% true. If we have to just analyze it, the seven oceans, which form 70% of the earth, the 70% take it out. And we don't live on the water, on seas. We live on land. 50% of the earth is land, the seven continents, Africa, Asia, America, etc. Take out the six continents. Only one continent is left, Africa. Now what is left of that less of a mosquito wing? When you took out 70% and you took out almost again another so much, only that one, and in Africa there are roughly about 50 countries. Take out all the other countries, one country, South Africa. South Africa, nine provinces. Take out eight provinces, one province of Gauteng. Province of Gauteng has got Pretoria, has got Krugersdorp, Johannesburg, Germans, how many cities. Take out all of them, one Krugersdorp. Krugersdorp has got so many suburbs. Take out all of them, one suburb, Azadvel. Azadvel has got so many now extensions, only where we are in. So many streets. Take out all that streets. What's left of that mosquito wing now? And in that one street, we are on Bach Street, number one. Now take out all the other numbers of Bach Street, one, number one Bach Street. And that one to plot, you are one individual. What now? How small are you? And this world of ours is 12,000 kilometers in diameter. And 36,000 kilometers in circumference. Remember this, just keep it at the back of our mind. That the diameter of the earth is 12,000 kilometers. And then in our solar system, there is the star Jupiter. And 1,300 Earths can fit into Jupiter. Now what are we, what is the earth which was less than a wing of a mosquito? And 1300 earths can fit into Jupiter. Our sun, almost 5,500 earths can fit into the sun. How big is that? And what now, what are we? And how insignificant are we? And then beyond our solar system, there are others which scientists had discovered only in 1967 still. About 40, 50 years ago. That's all they, now they discovered. Like the Quran explained the formation of the child in the mother's womb. Only now science discovered. But Allah told it 1400 years ago. All, and the Quran is filled with astronomy from the beginning till the end. The Quran is filled. Our shares one beautiful poem that looking at the stars and the moon and all the heavenly objects, we realized you. Judge Akbar Allahabadi Rahmatullah Ali said, to mere dil mein aata hai. You come in my heart, or I believe in you, O Allah. Meri samajh mein nahi. I can't fathom you with my brains. Main jaan gaya, yahi pehchaan hai, teri pehchaan. I realize this is your recognition. That with my brains I can't fathom you. With my heart I believe in you wholeheartedly. So beyond our solar system, there are other stars, like the Antares, then the Arcturus, and then one very big star there, the Canis Majoris. And in these are such stars that in front of the Antares, our sun, this ball you get in water sports, in the swimming pool, people play with that big ball filled with air, they play. That if you take that to be the size of the Antares, the sun is like a table tennis ball, like a golf ball. That sun in which 5,500 earths fit, compared to that star, the sun is so small. So how big is that? And in the Canis Majoris, 7 quadrillion earths will fit in there. And how much are 7 quadrillion? 7 with 15 zeros behind it. So how big is that? And that is how big that star is. So what is this sun? And the sun in which 5,500 earths, and in this earth you take out the 7 oceans, the 7, 6 continents, the 50, what is left? But insan thinks he's so big. And that is not at the end. After that they discovered, then there are those stars that which the Quran Sharif also speaks about, the pulses, which later they discovered. And the Quran Sharif spoke about this 1400 years ago, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالطَّارِقِ. What is the star Tariq? النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. They named it pulsar because it gives pulses. Like a hammer hitting, like pulses, like we feel our pulses. Very weak. They also giving radiation, pulses like this. And the Quran spoke of these already in those days. Then you get another star which they discovered, which they call the black hole. Why they call the star the black hole? It's like invisible. You can't see it. The Quran Sharif says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ خُنَّسِ which are hidden. You can't see them. And then Al-Jawar, they are moving at fantastic speeds, at very great speeds. And Al-Kunnas, in Arabic, Miknasa, a broom. They are sweeping out all the debris of that whole orbit. They clean it out all the time. And all that debris, if it has to fall down, the earth will be destroyed. The sun will be destroyed. So Allah Ta'ala, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We made the sky a protection for you. Like we got our roof here primarily, then the ceiling also. It protects us from rain, from heat, from cold weather, hot weather. Allah made the sky a great protection for us. So that Allah Ta'ala has made. Then they discovered that there are more than that bigger galaxies of stars. And those galaxies of stars, that these Antares, in which 7 quadrillion earths fit in. And Canis Majoris, all these things, they are like specks of dust in front of that galaxies there. So big they are. And those galaxies, they are, the scientists have seen 10 million of them. And they say, our opinion, that is their opinion, there must be trillions. They have seen 10 million. But they say, we think of all their studies, that there should be trillions of galaxies, not of stars, galaxies. And those stars are made up of between 1,000 and 100,000 stars. Those galaxies are made up. There are 10 million, they are what they have seen. But they're thinking there are trillions. And that stars, they are made, that galaxy is made up of stars between 1,000 and 100,000. And the size of those stars, Allahu Akbar, how big are they? They are so big that they are, which is measured in parsecs. They are measured in parsecs, which is between, I can't remember exactly, but one parsec is 31 trillion kilometers. And they are measured, that is, the diameter is between 1,000 and 100,000 parsecs. And one parsec is 31 trillion kilometers. What is happening there? What is the Qudrat? Allah has made all this by His command. And then they've discovered after that what they have called and named the Cornwall. And this, they say, we haven't seen the end of it. How much they have seen? This Cornwall is 500 million light years long. 500 million light years long. 300 million light years is the height of it. The length of it, 500 million. The height, 300. And the width of it, 15 million light years. And one light year is 10 trillion kilometers. One light year is 10. So how big is that? All this is the so big is Allah. And then we take our iman and put it in a cat. We take out our iman from Allah Ta'ala and we put it in a cat. We put it in small little, in a ta'weez we put our iman, and we take it out from Allah Ta'ala. And more greater than that, bigger than all this, is Jahannam. Jahannam, the size of it is so big. Hal min mazid, no matter who else comes, are there more also that can, and more bigger than Jahannam. Arduha as-samawati wal-ard, the Quran. Ka ardi as-samai wal-ard. It is of all this, that is the size of Jannat. Then you can easily understand that the low person will get the least, the last person to enter Jannat will get 10 times the size of this dunya. Compared to the Jannat, what is 10 times of? And remember, this earth is only 12,000 kilometers. There you're speaking of trillions and what you're speaking. What is the earth in front? So how big? And more bigger is the roof of Jannat, which is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And that is even more bigger than Jannat. And on the arsh, Allah Tabaraka, who is infinite. You cannot measure Allah Ta'ala in anything, in His Zat, in His Sifat, in anything. Allah is beyond. There is no limit to Allah Ta'ala. So we have got iman. And Allah is so big, but Allah is so personal, He becomes yours personally. You just to make this little effort what we're talking about, and that great, great Allah, Allah declares in a hadith of Qudsi, I don't fit in the heavens, I don't fit in the earth, I fit in the heart of a mu'min. That you just make this, and Allah will be, ek tu mera, to har shay meri. Zami meri, asma mera. Ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. You are mine, O Allah. Everything naturally is yours. If you are not mine, nothing is mine. So Allah, that is so great. And to such a great being, maybe impossible to make contact. Allahu Akbar. Allah's office is open 24 hours. Not 9 to 4. 24 hours. And to make contact with Allah Ta'ala, you don't need a cell phone. Maybe you haven't got connection. Or your internet, no internet access. Or maybe your battery is gone flat. Or anything like that. Or you made contact, the phone is engaged. By Allah, the phone is never engaged. Allah hasn't kept a secretary to tell you the boss is gone out. Or the boss is in a meeting. Allah Himself, the minute you just put your two hands together, you have made contact with Allah Ta'ala. And if you haven't got the opportunity of putting your two hands also, from your heart just make contact, direct. And you will get direct contact. There is no pre-recorded message there. For English press 1, for Afrikaans press 2, for Arabic press 3. No, direct contact. And if you are dumb, you can't speak. Allah listens to you even more better. And if you are deaf, you can't hear. You'll hear Allah's voice in your heart. Allah, just make your contact with Him. We left that Allah. And once you have found that Allah, now in your namaz say Allahu Akbar and see for who you are saying Allah. Now see the quality of that namaz. And when you make your sajda, then see for who you are making sajda. How I'm not even a speck of a speck of a million specks of a dust compared to, and he's so kind, so personal, He becomes mine. And you get personal attention. If you are waiting in a queue at some office, and they give you a number 30, number 35, 40, And then they're taking long with some customer, that flashes all the time. Be patient, you'll get the same attention as this customer is getting. So yeah, you don't have to stand in a queue at any time. And you get full attention. We just have to make Allah ours. And then everything is in our hands. So how great is not Allah Ta'ala? How insignificant are not we? And Allah, one buzurg says, oh Allah, you have shown your price to be very little. Increase your price. That you give your nafs, your dunya, and your jannat, you sacrifice it for Allah. Allah is more greater. He said, increase your price. You are so great. Allah has made himself so easily available. And yet we don't avail ourselves to find Allah, to take Allah. Who will be the losers? And how stupid losers? And for what? For some soccer match, cricket match, for some music, for some little gains of this dunya. Petty gains, we haven't found Allah. Just for our dunya and our money and our holidays and that, we can't haven't the time to find Allah. What burda on our brains? So may Allah Ta'ala, this month of Safar is not a sifar month, an empty month. It is a month filled with goodness. And what enrichment we can get if we take these lessons and take out our all wrong aqidas, tawheed completely in the heart. Any wrong beliefs of Shias or Qadianis or Salafis or anyone. No superstition, no jadu story. Full yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala. It comes in the hadith that those people who don't do ruqiyah, that is ta'weez, jais, halal, 70,000 wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun will enter jannat without hisab kitab. Jais, ta'weez is jais, is permissible. We're not saying it is not, but a person who puts his trust on Allah, they will enter jannat, no hisab, and not 70,000 is to show an enormous amount. Much more than that, whoever will put his trust fully on Allah, nothing of this world, no ta'weez, no all these other things, he will enter jannat without that tawheed is got, has got so much value. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Those brothers who want to come back, come forward.